Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we'll begin discussing, reading from this kitab, Mu'asharat, Islamic Social Etiquettes. Islamic Social Etiquettes. There's another kitab also written by Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayh on social etiquettes. This kitab has been compiled by our honorable beloved Sheikh Khazam Abdul Hamid Sahib. When Musa Qajin did the preparation of Mu'ana's instructions, and more etiquettes for our period of time. There were those originally, at the time we had compiled that time, etiquettes for for people in India, etc. And beyond that. But these are more pertinent to us. We stay in this type of environment, etc. But much of it is from Hadith Sharif and how for a person to carry himself out, whether in public, private, people, their huquq, their rights. Today we will begin discussing from the chapter every chapter is so important and so interesting, I don't know where to start from. Here let's start with something usually we don't really hear about or discuss, and Hazrat has really, mashallah, gone into this topic. Etiquettes pertaining to pregnancy, post-delivery, breastfeeding. I won't pertain to us, but the Masturat also listening. And possibly they haven't come across anything like this. So at least now they know there is a kitab where you can find these things, and there are many more also. So during the days of pregnancy, a woman must be extra careful in abstaining from sins. It applies to us also. We can encourage our families, those that are expecting. Alright? So a woman must be extra careful in abstaining from sins. Watching television, listening to music, arguments, eating wrong foods have an impact on a growing fetus. One should engage in dhikr, tilawat, and see, hear beautiful things. Example, she should keep her mind fresh and refrain from too much of talking and socializing unnecessarily. Very important. And our Kabir were asked also, that when does the tarbiyat of a child begin, nurturing of a child begin, and instill with him taqwa, or in her taqwa. For they say from the time the mother comes to know that she's expecting, tarbiyat already starts. Not after the child is born. And the biggest tarbiyat is the tarbiyat of the mother. And more than that is tarbiyat of the father. They're saying in Arabic also, that if the fish head is rotten, then you can imagine the remaining part of the fish. From here they indicating towards the head of the house, head of the business, head of the country. This facade, this rot has set in, you know what will happen, the rest of the body will be captured, state capture. And all will follow suit. So the father is same also. If it's also on taqwa, when we say taqwa also very, very importantly. What happens commonly, brothers come for the programs, or they go in jamaat, they come to majlis also, they hear, what do we say, high powered stuff. Now in his mind, I'm going to go home and rattle the house now. No, no. All this is for me. This is for me. They say hard on myself and soft on others. Hard on myself, soft on others. Now I want to go home, as Hakim Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayhi, even for majlis, even for i'tikaf. Alhamdulillah, he's reading 1,000 tasbihat a day, mashallah. He goes home with 1,000 tasbihat dana. Walking through the house. Now we're going to change everything here now. Throw everything out. He says, no. Muhabbat and piyar. Muhabbat and piyar, only the akhlaq of a person will win hearts. Not your ibadat. They'll say, your ibadat is yours. Your tasbihat is yours. Your gasht is yours. Your majlis, your sheikh, your hazrat is your hazrat. Said my hazrat that. Who's your wife's hazrat? Should be the husband. But now, she can't talk to him also. He comes in now. She says, what you learnt? What now? Shouldn't we only learnt ibadat? The biggest thing is akhlaq and character. So that's why we say, they learn character. And if you win them over at home, they become a character at home also. Become a character at home. Laughing, joking. And in between, mashallah, reminders. They see the akhlaq. Hazrat says, they see our akhlaq, how we came back home. But she won't tell you you changed. And are you waiting with a pat on the back? She'll tell you just, if not the same, you're worse than before. But the change is there. When you'll hear it really is when her friends phone her, or sister phones her, that this old man is giving me a hard time now. Then she'll say, you know what? My husband came back from the i'tikaf. What a change, subhanAllah. You must send your husband also. Then you know there was some change. He came back from 4 months. He came back absolutely a changed man, soft, cool, calm. No, Hazrat said, no, nakhraj you got now. Like the weather. Just changes anytime. He says, no, alhamdulillah, cool and calm. The food not ready also, no problem. I set the table. But subhanallah, what happened to you? Where you learn to set the table? But then we know we'll do it wrong. We'll take out the wrong plates, the wrong glasses. He says, every day we eat the same plate, you don't know which dinner set we're using. Now we're so oblivious. We say, we'll try. Then to act like a character, maf, I didn't realize. Now I appreciate you that how you got everything running smoothly. Because they know what to use, when and how. We don't realize it. Hazrat says, they're so particular when they're serving the food also. That spoon must be a certain angle. And then the danya must be cut last. Just for you to give a good comment. But we don't see anything. You say, make sharp. We're waiting so long. We need to get moving now. But we don't see how she presented the food to us. What muhabbat, what love. All these little things make a big difference in the house. But we don't see it because we don't have this etiquette, we don't have taqwa in us, we're not conscious of Allah. We're conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll take the wife to be not only maid, to another domestic. Allah has ihsan upon me, kindness upon me. So khair, coming back to this now. So this, we say hard on myself and soft on others. When it comes to the wife and the children, soft on them. That we remind them with piyar and muhabbat. So tarbiyat starts already when she's expecting, from that time already. Because the unborn fetus already has a heart in it. Has a ruh already. And there was one scientist or one doctor from America. He was studying the unborn fetus. So he came to know more or less about this. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ سَمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَخَدْيَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah Ta'ala took you out from the wombs of your mothers and you knew nothing whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala activated your hearing, your sight, the power of speech to comprehend, to understand. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you may thank Allah. Allah gave you all this, that you thank Allah, not that you use your sight and your hearing and your comprehension and your intelligence against the command of Allah. But unfortunately we have to go back in the same route again, that all these faculties, we hear in the home also they say, I put this boy is very intelligent, he must go and study. Must go. And you know in the studying, is that only halal taking place there? We know what's going to happen. Now somebody sent me one of the schools, what they have there? They're rolling out transgender, introducing the kids in the pre-primary or something. Pre-primary and primary, one of our schools here. Maybe our kids are going there also. Shay will tell you later on more about it. But they already sent a notice. They sent a notice that they're already rolling it out in the schools. Transgender, they're going to teach them. So now, we already understand, we can't send them there. It's a no-go zone completely. My child mustn't even hear this word also. That's why Hazrat Su, he doesn't even use the word. He says these few letters they put together. These few letters they put together. So whether the child understands, he might think some salad letters put together. So let him understand letters, no problem. But we know his letters put together and what they're trying to put into our children. So that doctor, he began, he did his experiment. His wife was expecting. So for that 6 months of her pregnancy, every day for half an hour, he would read this encyclopedia to the unborn fetus. So have his type of talib every night. Half an hour. They say when the child was born and began to speak, he was quoting already the encyclopedia. Because Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, his father also, when he began to speak, a little child, infant, he was already reading Surah Baqarah. They were caught on Surah Baqarah. Because his mother had so much of Quran, the child was listening all the time. In the womb of the mother, the child was listening already. So that's why they say the child he's got the power of hearing. So they say when the child is born also, sometimes we don't realize that child falls asleep better when there's noise around it. Because in the mother's womb, there's a lot of noise there. All the whooshing of the waters and everything else, so he's used to that sound. Now you put the child in a quiet room, he gets more scared. There's nothing happening here. What happened? Out of the womb of my mother. Well, that's why they fall asleep quicker when there's noise. And slowly, the whole tartib of Quran, now we don't have the time. But Allah Ta'ala says, جَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ. Allah Ta'ala activates the hearing first. When he gets used to hearing, then he doesn't enjoy so much of that sounds, then he wants it quiet. Allah, then his natural and default nature kicks in. So first the hearing starts. Then the eyesight, Allah, after some time the eyesight is activated. And then the heart and the mind begins to comprehend. This is tartib also. This is tartib. And when it comes to the tartib of sleeping, is the other way around. The comprehension and the mind shut down. Then the eyesight, the eyes close, but the hearing still activated. So you find in Bayan also, he's asleep but he's nodding the head still. Mind is shut down, eyes are closed, he said, I'm awake. I'm still awake. The hearing shuts off last. But when it comes to a child that is born, it's the other way around. First is the hearing, and how to wake up somebody also, you got to shout, then he wakes up. Wakes up, then the eyes open up, then begins to comprehend slowly. So this whole tartib is mentioned in Quran, in much tafsir, Mufti Shafi Sahib has mentioned it. So already that time tarbiyat starts. Many incidents mentioned also about a youngster, as he grew up, he stole something. So they caught him. Father was very perturbed. Pious family. Father was pious, mother was pious. Father said, can't be my son stole. Impossible. He said, no, he came to the shop and he took something. And he didn't pay for it, he stole something. Father was very perturbed. He went to his wife. And he said, during your pregnancy, did you do something? She says, never, I haven't done anything. Then how come he stole? It's impossible he will just steal like that. Impossible that our son will just steal. Allah has a system. You fall into the system, accordingly you will navigate your life. Then she began to think about it. She says, yes, when I was pregnant, that one day the neighbor's tree, one branch was hanging over into our yard, and the apple fell. So I picked up the apple, I washed it, and I ate it. So he didn't take permission. He says, no, that was it. That time you partook of that fruit, it wasn't lawful, you didn't take permission, yet it came out today, he stole something. You, so to say, stole something, they might have given you permission, but here the effect came out on the child. Contrary, there was the king, and he made his son the general of the army, send them out in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. After some time, they got the news that the prince has deserted the army, turned his back on the army, and he's run away. When he came to the queen, she said, impossible, he'll never do a thing like that. And she was adamant. But the news has gone out, deserted the army, and the prince has run away. So she waited for the news. She said, never, he'll never do such a thing like that. And Abad, when the news came out, he was there in the front line. Then they asked her, how come you were so confident that he'll never do a thing like that? By deserting the army, this is breaking the command of Allah. وَمَنْ يُوَلِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ دُبَرَهُ إِلَّا مُتَحَرِّفًا لِقِتَالٍ أُمُتَحَيِّزًا 9 para Surah Al-Anfal, Allah discusses about turning away from the battlefield. When it's permissible to turn away, so to say, to show you turning away, it's now they say, الْحَرْبُ خَدَعَةٌ Tactics, yes, they say, that war is a deception. So you deceive them, that now we're retreating, or you turn your back, or you give yourself in. Alright, but it's all treachery now. Is that true? You're not really turning your back on them. But when they asked the queen that, how come? How come you're so adamant? She says, every time I took this child in my hand as a baby to feed him, I made wuzu first with Bismillah, then I breastfed him. Allah's name and taharat and purity went into his heart. He'll never do a thing that will break the command of Allah. Because this was my tarbiyat for him. So from here we can understand now when it comes to the tarbiyat of the child, where it starts from. Where it starts from, and it all depends on the father of the house. Amount of taqwa, deen dari, he brings it to the house, how much he puts his wife on it. Unfortunately nowadays, when the wives are breastfeeding the children, they're on the cell phone. They're browsing. So we can imagine now, what's going to happen to the child when he grows up. What kind now of a child he's going to be? He's going to carry on scrolling also everywhere. She's scrolling away, he's going to be carrying on scrolling with company, don't know where he is right now, on which site, which website, where he's gone to, because the mother was doing the same. The 10 minutes, she had to be in her hand, read some Qur'an sharing for the future of a child. So engage in Qur'an, tilawat, and dhikrullah, and see beautiful things. Excessive use of the cell phone and computer causes the mind to be overstimulated, which will produce weak-minded children. And we can see now the children can't even sit still anymore. They can't even stand still, because they'll see all these cartoons. And you see commonly when you're traveling also, parents just give them that iPad, just give the cell phone, and he's watching the cartoon for hours. Now we were on the train coming from Umrah also. There's a whole family, maybe a 5-year-old boy. That whole duration of 2 hours, 2.5 hours, he had a cell phone there in front of him with a cartoon. I couldn't sleep also, because this boy was jumping so much on the seat. I was sitting across him. But every time I try to sleep, he's jumping again. Look at him, why he's jumping? Because that cartoon character is jumping also. So he too is jumping. For 2 hours non-stop he jumped. I said, I'm getting tired looking at him. He's not getting tired. Then I realized it's like a drug, this thing. This thing is like a real drug. What is stimulating of the brain, which parts of the brain, thing is the boy a chance to even rest also. Let me see. When you go have breakfast in these hotels also, just to keep the child quiet, give him the iPad. You put him in the pram, and you got the iPad, and every time you saw that iPad sometime, the thing goes off, and oh, what a tantrum. What a tantrum the child throws. The parents are so afraid. They quickly put it on again. Can't control him. He just needs it. It's like, even in Salah also, the father reading Salah, and the boy decided to jump into the father's pocket to take out the phone. Want the phone. No break. But the mothers also, in the Haram Sharif, pulling their bags, I want the phone. It's become like a drug. A pregnant woman should eat healthy foods. As the Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi encouraged his sister to eat a bright red apple with relish every day for her pregnancy. A bright red apple with relish every day of her pregnancy without cutting it with a knife. He said that the child will have noble character and a happy temperament. Red, bright apple. Here in some countries, when we were in Jamaat in South America, they said, don't buy the bright red apple. The one that is shining. Ask them why. They say it has a shine because they dip it in lard and pig fat. They dip it in lard, pig fat. So what do? You find the people are shining it on their clothing. And you actually can see a reflection in there. It's not the normal color of the apple. Yes, you get the naturally red one. But those that have the shine on it, has a glitter on it, is because they dip it in lard. So we should be careful. Haram perfume should never be used. Rather, apply oud or musk on the forehead, as it will open the mind of the growing child. For children don't ever apply perfumes for them. This attracts the jinnat. The jinnat will catch them after that. So apply for them what is sunnah. We have oud, we have musk, etc. And as I say, put it on there. Just put a bit on their forehead. That is sufficient now for them to smell nice. During delivery, care must be taken to ensure that the mother is covered adequately, as negligence will have adverse effects on the morals of the growing child. Very important also, how much she has to expose herself to that extent only. That's why we encourage, and nowadays it's still common here in our area, home births. Home births are still common, alhamdulillah. There are women that are doing it. And we should encourage our women also to go into this field. Alright? So there are women here in Durban and surrounding, even in Johannesburg. There are still doing home births, you come to the house, alhamdulillah, you can play your Quran, tilawah, zikr there in the room, everything is pure, clean, taharat, musalla is there, then you can have your Quran khatam outside the room, etc. And the child comes into the world with all the beautiful environment around him or around her. So it's still prevalent, we can still do these things. When breastfeeding, the mother should be properly covered. She should be properly covered. She should never engage in gossiping or futile speech during that time. Feeding the child in the state of wudu has a tremendous impact on the iman and knowledge of the child in later years. The mother, when she's covered also properly, adequately, and also she's got her hair covered. Now the women are asking, now eating time, do we have cover our hair? It's etiquette, it's adab, it's respect that we keep our hair covered. And those that did it among the old people, we find the barakat of it, what pious and good children they had. Now we just want to play with the masla a little bit. Do we have this farz, sunnat? What is it? You don't have to cover your hair. Why the ulama are saying cover their hair? But see the past. Those that did cover their hair, the amount of sharam and haya and respect and modesty that came in the children, compared to those that didn't. So they don't have the habit of covering their hair. So when they leave the house also, it's difficult. The child is feeling hot because the mother hasn't instilled in the child and the child was young in the house. Many young girls emerge from the home soon after childbirth, whereas they have not healed emotionally and physically. So still stay at home, and the old mother's therapy 40 days, no problem. Is that a sin? But now they know, go out quickly, is it the time for them to heal, to take out time, to make the zikr every day? There's no time to go out now. Be very, very careful. They're very vulnerable also when they go out. So shaitan and all the different environments around them. Ensure that the clothing worn by the children do not have images or pictures. This is very common. Allah Ta'ala save us. That the clothing of the children don't have images or pictures. Whether some horse or some cute character, etc. is not permissible. Here the amis will tell you also. The child is crying the entire night, having nightmares, etc. They say one of two things. Right? Or a few things. One is either on the child's pyjama or clothing, there's murat, we call murat, surat, there's eyes there, there's characters there. That's number one. That attracts the, in fact the hadith sharif is clear. الْمَلَائِكَةُ لَا تَدْخُلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَيْتًا فِيهِ كَلْبٌ وَلَا تَصَاوِرُ Or كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ The malaika of rahmah don't enter a home wherein there are dogs or there are animal pictures. Malaika don't come in that house. The malaika are not coming in my house, who's coming then? Shaitan is coming. And Shaitan loves these pictures over here. So one is the child is wearing it, then the malaika are not going to come to him. You can read Ayatul Kursi, you can do everything. Like one person, bright spark. Roshan Khiyal, he heard the hadith, Muslim person. It was in India, he was a barrister or something like that. And so, he used to keep with him a dog all the time. Being a Muslim, he used to keep a dog with him. And we know a dog is absolutely, it's spit saliva is Najisul Ayn. Najisul Ayn, when you have heard Najasat, Najis. And one is what called Najisul Ayn, that is a khindir and a pig. It's completely najis. When it comes to the dog, the saliva of it is absolutely impure. In the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if a dog has to you drink from a utensil or lick anything, then the original masla is you have to wash that item 7 times with sand. To take out the full, the dirt, the bacteria, the germs. There's so much of germs in the tongue of the dog. And then wash it 1 time with water. That's the original masla, 7 times with sand. Now it's become a fashion. We finished already with a cat, now we're carrying dogs now. Now the Muslim woman is carrying little dogs. It's become now a dog life. They were taking the dog everywhere. Now, the saliva comes into your clothing, you napak. Comes into your hand, you napak. Comes into the bed is napak. Malaika won't come in that house. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at one time was perturbed. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said he's going to come to visit me. He hasn't come. The Nabi of Allah is now perturbed, parishan. Ya Allah, what's happening? Why is he not coming? Finally, after a few days, Nabi of Allah steps out of the house, Jibreel appeared. Oh Jibreel, what has happened all these days? He said, oh Rasulullah, look under your bed, there's a puppy there. I couldn't enter the room. So a little puppy used to come in and out. When he went in the room, he found there was a puppy there. Because of that puppy, Jibreel couldn't enter. So imagine the Nabi of Allah upon whom wahi is coming. So we can have all the Quran Sharifs in the house, the malaika not gonna come. We can have idol kursi on the wall, malaika not gonna come. Only the shaitan are gonna come. Now shaitan has slowly penetrated the ummah. That's why we mentioned that there are those who have taken their hobbies as their idols. Their cats were at one time their idols. The daughter says, I want a cat. You say, alright, get her one cat. From the cat slowly now, we finish off. Hazrat says, first now it was a hobby, then the muhabbat and love came for the cat. From muhabbat and love for the cat came ishq now. I love my cat. I'm going to take it everywhere. She'll fight with the brother and make muhabbat with the cat. Now we love the animals more than we love the humans. So that's how it is. That's how shaitan nafs works. And that's how shaitan worked with the Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's people. That's, we just don't understand these things. You know, Ali Salatu Salam's people also, that's how he worked his way. Till this is of shaitan, we can't even imagine it. Because he knows insan how the mind operates. No, Ali Salatu Salam's time, there were many pious people. And when they passed away, so the children just had a sketch drawn of the pious father or pious grandfather. Just kept it one side as memory. Permissible jais in that zamana. And as they went on, then they made more clearer pictures, and they would tell the children, grandchildren, that your papa, your grandfather was a very pious man. So many years ibadat he made, 1,000 years ibadat he made. And he was like this, and he was like that. So they would revere him. They would look at him, and they would revere him. And slowly from that little sketches they were making, picture making, then they began to make sculptures after that. Sculptures, just keep it one side of the house, so we remember him. We don't forget, this was the head of the family, very pious man. Then they began to make idols of him. And then they instructed the children that when you leave in the morning now, just make one. What they call namaste. Make one namaste. Like how the Hindus do. So they began to do that. Began to. And slowly as they went on, generations came down. You heard stories of this pious. And slowly from the namaste came to one kiss, one hug. And then came to sajda finally. From where? Just one image, just one drawing, just one sketch. Shaitan worked generations down like that. We see over here also, due respect to the brothers, we love them also, but one great-grandmother became pious, 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 slowly came to the qabr, made dua from dua, they had some offerings, became sajda. And sajda started making tawaf of the qabr. And we know it's happening around us. How shaitan infiltrates and how he works, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Quran says, above every knowledgeable person, there's one more knowledgeable. So the Tabi'i Rahmatullah Ali says, no matter how knowledgeable you may be the Shaykh al-Hadith, you know all the Hadith, you're a Mufti Sahib also, you know all the Masail, Shaitan is still bigger than you. He knows more Masail than you. He knows how to break the Masala also. He knows it. That's why you get now, the Sahib of Fatawa, where you got the Fatwa from? Where you got it? Wasn't it to his intelligence? The Shaitani came there. So Shaitan is still above that. Shaykh al-Hadith also, you know all the Hadith. But then to whom is Amal appalling? What happened? He knows everything. Shaitan is still an enemy. So they say that if Shaitan was so intelligent, that when Allah Ta'ala told him, فَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ, that exit from here, get out from Jannah now. You are cursed. So clever and so sly he was. Allah is actually angry right now with him, that you broke my command after so many years living with Malaika. Then to he asked, أَنْذِرْنِي, Ya Allah, you tell me to get out, but give me respite till Qiyamah also. Give me life till Qiyamah. And he said, and he also said, why, Ya Allah, give me respite so I may lead your bondsman astray from you. That to he knew Allah will give him. Allah Ta'ala said, I give it to you. Because he knew Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is such a unique being that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala can display anger and love at the same time. Unlike insan. Allah can show Jamal and Jalal at the same time. He knew. He recognized Allah, he was Arif Billah. He recognized Allah, as Hakim Sahib says, he was Arif, he was Abid, and he was Alim. He knew everything. He recognized Allah. He was a worshipper Abid, but one ayn was missing of Ashiq. He didn't love Allah. If you love somebody, then you will obey. He didn't have that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he was so intelligent now, after being kicked out from Jannah, still had in his mind that Adam alayhi salam is there, I've got to make him join me, I can't go alone from here. How he made his way back into Jannah. He went past all the security, all the malaika, because he lived with them so many years, he knew now how to get past all of them, but back into Jannah. And then he told Adam alayhi salatu wa salam that here's the tree, he was eat from there, whispered in Hawa's ears also. He says, now if you could do that right in Jannah to Dada Adam, he said, what are we? We are pauper to him. He'll break us any time. He'll break us any time. Nobody's strong. That's why we given one wazifa. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. Ya Allah, this shaitan regime who is your dog. Ya Allah, you the owner of the dog, you take care of him. We can't beat him. We can't fight him. He's too intelligent. Now, Nuh alayhi salatu salam, from where to where he took them. Now we know what's going to happen. Now some ulama say photography permissible. This permissible. Okay, we might be able to handle it, but no, we know we can't even handle it also. What the children are going to do? What the grandchildren are going to do? Generation going down, what are they going to do? Here, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's people now, they made the idol. Our great-great-grandchildren, my father was Mufti so and so, and he already hit his million subscribers on YouTube, alhamdulillah, and then what are they going to keep in the house about him now? I don't know. What are they going to keep as a reminder? What a star he was. What a star he was. But what hiding in the gate in the qabr, Allah bachai. That's why ulama say, you cut it from the root. If there's tasawir, there's pictures in the house, there's murat in the house, the malaika are not going to come. Whether the technicality now, the digital image of what you're seeing is only digital, it's pixels put together. Hazrat says, we're not worried how that picture came together, we are looking at the outcome of it. Look at the outcome of the picture. Ulama are discussing the technicalities of how the picture was made. Because of that, now it's digital. So it's not something tangible. It can be deleted. It doesn't have to be reproduced. Therefore, it's permissible. We're not looking at how it's been produced or reproduced. We are looking now at the outcome of the picture, what's happening. And we can see the outcome of it. What the kids aren't doing. Adults, what aren't they doing? The pictures they are sending around, uploading, downloading, etc. Whether they're saying now, so they tell you now, that photography is permissible, but T's and C's apply. By who read the T's and C's? We just saw the fatwa there, finished. It's here's my mufti. I got my man. This is my Mufti. I gel with him. He gives the right fatwas for me. Nobody. From where to where, that is going to go to. So when these things are in the house, malaika are not going to enter. Then ulama say, when there's pictures on the children's clothing, or there are toys that have it, stuffed toys, teddy bear. How many a young girl love my teddy bear? Love my teddy. Got teddy bear. They got whatever it is, something that they keep. Even the playthings also. Now we know the toys for children you go and buy on the shop. Everything is murat. They're watching now. One friend of ours now, he's a toy buyer for a certain company. He said, we got to know 6 months ahead now in December, and then 6 months thereafter, that so and so, the Disneyland and all these companies, what cartoons or what movies are going to come out with, and together with that, what characters they're going to have. So we start rolling out the toys also, so then we can start marketing beforehand. Children are seeing it. Alright, Hazrat says too, they're seeing all the Spider-Man, and he's dressed like a spider, but you ask him, you like spiders? I hate them. But how the kuffar got in? He was dressed like one, but he hates spiders. But how they warped the entire man, entire mind of a boy. You should say, I want to become like a Sahabi, radio anhu. I want to become like this Sahabi or that Sahabi. Now they're going to become like Spider-Man also. Alright? So, all the things now we are buying for them, even the simple thing, what to say, when you buy for them one farm set. Now you bought all little animals there. That was not permissible. All little animals you bought for this, you know, it's just small, nothing serious. They buy him the car, sometimes in the car also, they got one driver there. And when it comes to Legos also, Legos it is, eh? They also they have little characters, etc. Buy it quietly, take the character and destroy it in the bin. They can buy, play with the blocks, no? That's enough for them to play. The child won't, if he doesn't know about it, he won't cry for it. Now we showed him, then he's going to take it away from him. Zakim Sahab told the men also, that if your wife now doesn't want to listen, and she's still going to bought something like that, it has murat on it, has eyes on it, has some animate object on it. He said, don't go and fight at home. He didn't hear the bayan. Moana says, all this is now because of you, all the shaitan comes in the house. But you're not realizing that you're acting like one right now. You're acting like one shaitan. Take it easy. Hazrat says, don't worry. When they're all gone to sleep, then take the toy away. Take that toy away, alright? And he says, replace it with something better. That's jais. So they say, you know what, you and your mufti and your hazrat and your khanka, you carry on there, leave us alone. We're happy like this. She says, no, you be one better. Go take it quietly. She spend 200-300 then. Go buy one for 500 then. For something completely halal and jais. The children say, oh, he's happier now. We thought now you take it away and now you make him cry. Now you made him cry. Just let him play with it. Take it quietly and buy something better for him to play. So there's no complaint against you after that. So one is now on the clothing. Then is all the toys. Then the magazines around us everywhere. And then they say also when it comes to the bathroom toilets, that is where shaitan breeds. That's where he sits and he waits to attack on the toilet. That's a toilet they say, make sure you close the door at night. The child is crying, is getting scared. Go to any amil and tell you, did you close the door at night? The toilet bathroom is closed. There's no murat and surat, etc. Toilet is open a little bit. We left it open like that. Children at night, they left it open, etc. The door is open. The high pan is open. The low pan is open. Shaitan is sitting there, he's waiting. You go and sleep, I'm going to make you parishan. I will make your child scared, wake him up half the night. You don't get sleep, you must say fajr namaz. The whole next day is spoiled. What happened there? Is that the child's problem? Is the parent's problem. Why you brought all this into the house? So we don't need these things in the house. We want sukoon in the house. Allah Ta'ala has given the house for sukoon. But you're bringing all these extra things now and you're making them parishan. So don't have, so you should be careful when it comes to the clothing also. What kind of clothing they're wearing, the children, right? And also cover the child's satar from the time they're young also. You know, in Gujarati they've got a word also. What they say, jabak ma'awa. Huh? So he just got caught. The young girl just got caught the wrong place at the wrong time. Hair was open, and they had all perfume on, and the hands were wide open. And we know young girls, when they're dressed like that, how cute they are. They're showing all the skin color. And it attracts the jinnat also. And she just got caught. Just took her to the park like that. Everybody was open, had her half dressed, the legs were showing, the hands were showing. And one worker was there and he's staring at her one way. He said, what a cute child. Now the amount of kufr and filth in his heart. What haram activity he was involved in. what he was drinking, whether he's intoxicated, the nazar is falling on this child. Then in that time, the jinnats are playing around, also azan is going. So when azan is going, take the children indoors. Hadith Sharif is clear. At that time, the shayateen, when they hear the azan, they're running for their life. Whatever they can catch and they can pick up in between on the road, they do it. Or they give one slap, they give one hit, and they say, what will happen to the child? Do not happen to him. He just whole face changed. Whose fault? You don't blame the children. The time they'll be in the house, the time they've got to be in the masjid, there's no other place for them. Masjid, home, madrasa. That is the triangle for the men also. Masjid, home, and work. Masjid, home, and work. There's no other place. Any place you step out of the world, the filth is waiting for you. So how we have to protect our children, we will be so careful, otherwise the entire future is destroyed after that. Entire future is destroyed. My daughter is suffering. She's got this complication, that complication. Her bloods are not right. She's anemic. All this we're hearing now all this time. We never heard it before. Now we're hearing it. Right? They're low on vitamin D, and they're low on this vitamin, and on that vitamin. Right? And then they've got to take so much of medication. Old ladies have never heard before. Because they're doing work. Ulama said they have to do work in the house. They have to carry the basket. They have to hang the clothes. They have to do something, some activity they have to do. To keep themselves food and keep themselves going. They have to look after the children. Yes, we try to make them as comfortable as possible. At the same time, they have to be active. So in the old age, they still food enough, alhamdulillah, to look after the husband, to look after the family. So there's a whole Islamic system of how a woman should be, how the husband should be, to what extent he makes a khidna, to what extent he spoils her also, how to spoil her, when to spoil her, all these there. Now we are spoiling them completely from head to toe, financially, giving them everything. Whereas the original tartib of nubuwat and sharia and deen is to spoil them when it comes to akhlaq, not monetarily. So every woman is only staying in the marriage, and ask most of them, I'm staying here because he takes care of me. Otherwise, this man is a rubbish. Can't live with him. But things are good, I'm going through it. Most of the women will tell you that. Because financial security is there. He spends on me, he gives me the car, but him as a person, I'm tired of him. But at least he's leaving for the holiday. They say, illa mashallah, there are those mashallah whose husbands have good akhlaq, but by and large women come most with this complaint. The only reason I'm sticking around, because I've got little children, he'll pay for the school fees, biggest thing, school fees. School fees is the biggest thing now. He'll pay for the school fees, for the tuition and the coaching and everything else, and he'll buy the uniform and he'll do this, so I'm just sticking around. I'm just sticking around, but I don't know how much longer. Let the kids get big, and I can think about moving ahead after that. But in the meantime, I'm just sticking with him. And this is a common complaint. We're supposed to be the other way around. The Fatima radiallahu anha had nothing in the house. But the akhlaq of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the muhabbat they had within the home. Yes, they had their problems also. Once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came into the masjid, the Ali was lying down there on the sand. The Nabi of Allah, with his leg gently, he shook him up. And he said, Ya Abu Tarab. Abu Tarab became his title, the father of sand. He said, Abu Tarab, what are you doing here? He said, We had a fight at home. He took him back home. And the Nabi of Allah sorted it out. But when they had a fight, or had an argument, or misunderstanding, see where he came. He didn't go pedal tennis. He came to the masjid. He didn't go to the coffee shop. So we go to the coffee shop, the woman now is enough for me, I better go relax with the coffee shop. He came to the masjid. He came to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As it says now, the children are seeing all of this by the time they're 18, 19. And they only hear complaints. He said the child who loved the father so much, now he sees all the atrocities of his father and the mother. By the time he's 18, 19, he said, if I get a chance, I'll kill this old man. I'll kill this old man. They say to their friends also, the way he treats my mother. But now we can't do anything about it. And they say, I wish death for him. Allah Ta'ala, save us. But we spoil them all these things over here and see what products we're getting after that. All this photography and all this YouTube and all these things over here is doing this to their mind. Allah Ta'ala, give us understanding, inshallah. So the dressing of our young daughters is very important. Our young sons also. How we dress them up, this is what they're going to become like. How we dress them up, what they're going to become like. We're going to give them all old fashion and all that. They're going to become like the ustaz also. They're going to become like them. Make them like the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, dress them up like they're like the pious people. You're going to become pious. It's natural. It will happen like that. Ensure that the clothing worn by the children will have images or pictures. Similarly, pictures of animate objects found on blankets, boobs also, feeding utensils should be removed, as this deprives one of the angel's protection. So I was telling you about this person who used to keep a dog. So when that one alim saw him, he said, but why do you keep a dog with you all the time? So there was a barrister at that time. India was under English rule, so he was like an Englishman also. He said, why you carry the dog with you everywhere? He says, you don't know the Hadith Sharif, that a person has a dog, Malaika don't come near him. So I keep my dog, Malakul Maut won't come. He says, no, that Hadith revealed to the Malaika of Rahmat, Malakul Maut is still going to come for you. Then you're going to have a terrible death because you're keeping this dog with you. So do misinterpret the Hadith. The Malaika of protection and Rahmat won't come. Malakul Maut, there's no barrier for him. He's going to come and take. Then the Alim told him also, what about the dog then? How are you going to die? The same Malakul Maut is going to take his life too. He's going to take your life too. Baby should be breastfed. This is the right of the child. When the child begins to eat, he should be fed fresh food prepared at home. Refrain from processed factory foods. When feeding a baby from the bottle, feed with the right hand. For the mothers, feed with the right hand. Try to feed in an upright sitting position, as liquid is bound to drip in the inner ear, causing ear infections. Do not prop the bottle of the child with a pillow, leaving the child unattended to feed himself. When changing the napkin of the child, especially a baby girl, do not do so in front of boys, even the elder or younger brothers. They shouldn't be there, but the image stays in the head after that is young children. When changing the children's clothing, do not undress them in the state of total nudity. Now here, you know what happens, take them to the beach, and there, we just change them from everybody. A child gets accustomed to this now. They have to be open in public. So here you should be very, very careful. Always ensure that there is some clothing on the body and work with half of the body at a time. Hairs and nails of one's children must be buried and not thrown in the sink or the bin. These nails we have also is a body part. وَلَقَدْ كَرَمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, we've given a lot of honor to Bani Adam. We've honored him in his lifetime and after his death also. The janaza, how you look after janaza, how you give ghusl to janaza, don't jolt the beer also when you walk in, because it's still a human being. So when it comes to any body part that become detached, it should be buried. So even the fingernails also, we should bury them. So we're cutting our children's fingernails at home, others are cutting it, you got to put it in the tissue there, or in a cloth, whatever it may be. And now, when the father is being out somewhere, the pot plant somewhere, or the garden somewhere, then we can throw it in there with the intention of it becoming, of it being buried. The Shaykh Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi advised the mother of a toddler not to cut his hair in such a manner that the hair covers the forehead or forelock. Don't cut his hair like that. Two lengths, or even in layers also, and now he covers his forehead or his forelock. This is the place where thoughts process. So keep it clear. That's why you find the old ladies, they're very particular, our grandmothers, when it came to their grandchildren and daughters also. They say, push your hair back, push it right back, because a broad forehead is an intelligent child. And they will make a middle part. Nowadays, it's totally opposite. The mothers are bringing the hair right to the front and has a fringe over here. The boy now can't wear topi, the topi is coming out. He can't make sajda also, because all his hairstyles. Whereas before, it should be all pushed back completely. This is the place where thoughts process, it requires oxygen. This part of the head requires oxygen. That is why the Ali Rajan would say, Aditu Sha'ari, Aditu Sha'ari, that I have declared war with my hair. The Ali would say, radiallahu anhu. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said in the regards to Ali radiallahu anhu, Ana Madinatul Ilm, Ana Madinatul Ilm, wa Aliyun Babuha. That I am a city of knowledge, and Ali is the door to it. He's the door to it. So he was like a student all his life. And he said, I declare war with my hair, meaning he never kept hair. We always shave it or keep it absolutely short. From there, our Hazrat says also, the students of deen and students that are studying, they shouldn't keep any hair. Because there's no time to groom, to look in the mirror. They shouldn't have the habit of looking in the mirror also. So they should just wake up in the morning, just make wuzu, finish, masa, put topi on, and be ready for madrasa. There's no time now for brush and to look in the mirror, etc. That is now after the boy gets married. Then his wife will tell him, I like your hair like this, or I like it like that. Yeah, but till then, he's got no time for that. He said, now he's married to his kitab, he's married to his Quran Sharif. So there's no time to keep hair also. And he's lighter for the head. He's lighter for his head also. Otherwise, Hakim Akhtar Sahib will say, rahmatullah alayhi, when you keep hair, then there's three rites of your hair. One is taghseel, to wash the hair. And the hair is big, it takes a lot of time. Taghseel. Then tadheen, then to oil the hair, is a rite of the hair. Then tamshit, then to comb the hair. You see, it's a whole process and a whole exercise. To wash the hair, to oil the hair, to comb the hair. You see, the young boy, where he's got time? We asked the boy in madrasa, I had project, I had assignment, no time for sabak. So where you got time to comb your hair and wash it then? And to oil the hair? That should be your sabak time then. Now we know, when they're going to wash the hair, he's going to put shampoo, and then he wants conditioner after that. And how long that takes? It's a whole process that in the bathroom. In the meantime, he emptied 150 liters of the geyser. Water is finished. Just washing his hair only. And then he finds the sister come banging on the door. How much longer? Now he got so big hair, she's a girl, she must keep her hair. But even we found our asatiza also, even their daughters also, so they were almost 5 years old, they would shave their hair. So almost 5 years old, they would shave the hair completely. So the hair grows nice and thick for the girls. So enough hair on their head for the janazah when they pass away. The whole thing is about akhirat, my dear brothers. Because you know the masla, when a girl has to pass away, a woman has to pass away, then they make the hair, they separate into two parts. So the right part comes over the right part of the chest and the left part over the left part of her chest. So that is the way to bury her. So they will shave the hair of the daughter since they were 5 years old. So the hair grows nice and thick. Then oil the hair every time. Why preparing them already now for the kafan? Azan was given, iqamat was given. Only thing left now is your janazah. So already it was whole preparation for the children, not now to make the dunya only. So they never used to keep hair for the children. So Ali say, I declared war with my hair. Why? He was more or less because of janabat. He says, I'm afraid for janabat. But one hair is left dry, then my ghusl is not made. So he never used to keep hair. It's very easy for me to have ghusl and janabat. Because now boys are becoming hafiz al-Quran, they're going to make imamat, etc. So very easy for them now to have ghusl and janabat. Is there a problem for them? Then Hazrat says, yes, later on, as they move on in life, when they get married, now the style must start. When you get married, now the wife must say, I like it like this, or I don't like it like that. Then they can say, Labbaik wa sa'adik. My wife, how you like it, I will do it like that. Now I have my own style. Now the whole style we know also, when it comes to the hair, right? Some youngsters ask when the Magda sahab also, Zulfa is sunnat. You see, it's sunnat. 4 rakats before Asr namaz is sunnat. You read it 4 rakats? The Mu'anin tell him that, but I'm saying the 4 rakats too is sunnat. No, but Mu'ana, hey, this Zulfa is sunnat. By the 4 rakats before Isha, then all the sunnat and nafid, you read all of them. Tick all those boxes first. Do all those sunnat that nobody will see you. Then all these apparent sunnat they've got to do with your outlook and your beauty and your decoration, that must come later in life. That will come later in life, where you must look smart, etc. Do all other sunnat first. Now when you put surma, right, then you have, look at this pretty boy now. He's putting surma, pretty boy. For Juma he's putting surma. Now he's oiling his hair. Now he's doing like this. Now he's doing like that. Now he's tying turban, imama. All the sunnahs are in his place. All the sunnahs have a time and place for it. When to do it, how to do it, ask the mashayikh. Whether I can tie turban now, whether I must do this, whether I must do that. Especially for youngsters. Their mothers want to dress them up. Then we find that even the men's nazar fall on them. And we know the society nowadays, what's happening. This whole pedophile thing is such a terrible thing. People have this bimari right now. It's unimaginable and it's happening within our own masjids also. Now my son, I'm going to dress him up so cute and so this thing, put Emirati style for him. So attack one man that has this bimari. Now we're causing that attraction. Why make my son dress like this when I don't have to? Now the mothers have anxiety, then he mustn't go to the masjid. No, he mustn't dress like that. Dress him properly and dress him this simple. Mustn't even look so cute. Cute you can look at home, no problem. But not when he's going out. That's why Hazrat Kimsa was very particular in the riwayat also. You know, they must wear jewelry and bracelets and put all these things over here. He must just look simple. So in that is their hifazat and their protection. So even cutting their hair, now we find here Hazrat Kimsa says that leave the space on the hair completely. Now the mothers have that baby's hair from the time he's born, they don't remove it. The child is all over his face, he hardly can eat food also. Don't want to cut that hair. What they do to this poor child, Allah Ta'ala Abraham. Only the mothers understand. Where are they getting this culture from? It's far from the culture of the Sunnah. Far from the culture of the Sunnah. If we're preparing our children to become mujahideen at least, they have to become in our heart right now. Ya Allah, accept my child to strive in your path. You can't go with his hair in the battlefield. You won't be able to see the enemy also. How is he going to launch that RPG? You won't be able to launch the RPG like that old man. Old man, they were looking for the moon of Eid. And he came excitedly to the alim, to the qazi. I saw the moon. He said, where? He said, I saw it just now, it disappeared. He said, where you saw it? He said, it was in front of my eyes. He said, are you sure? He said, yes, man. He had his eyes wide open. He said, I saw it just now. Then he closed his eyes and said, yeah, I see it now. He said, where? Then the alim lifted up his eyebrow. He said, your eyebrow, is that the moon? The eyebrows have gone so big, the night is coming. So when he closed his eyes, the liberty was blocking the eyes, so he could see like the moon shape. So when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see it anymore. So they say in the same way, the youngsters now, so long hair they have, now to wash the hair, to take care of it, and the mothers just don't want to remove it. It's an illness. And we call it the illness of the heart of this child. What we're not understanding, we're making this child self-conceited. Self-conceited. He's going to have more time for his own decor, for his own bathing, for his own decoration, and he will have no eyes for his wife. That's recorded already. He'll be so worried about himself only. There was once, some years ago, we read an article about a female journalist. Haram life they got now, so she's writing, that time, maybe about 25 years ago, there was an article, yeah, somebody showed us, that she has an article about the beard. Now, white woman, living in a Western country, traveled the world, she's a journalist or whatever, she's writing for the magazine. And the whole thing about the article is about the beard of a man. So she writes there, in her whole haram lifestyle of hers, that I had many men in my life. But I never settled down any one of them, until I found the right one. And who was the right one? A man with a beard. What was the difference? She said, all these men before, whoever I was going out with, every morning we would wake up and their lifestyle is like that now. You're all rushing to work, coffee in the hand and this thing and that thing in the bathroom, whatever it is. They got their coffee one hand and toothbrush other side. He said, every morning when we used to go to work, I used to go my way, he never had time to even look at me. Because he was more looking at himself in the mirror. He had to shave his beard every day and groom himself to go out. He never even had time to give me a look or to commend me until I found a man with a beard. There was no thing of him now removing. He just combed his beard and he had eyes for me only. Because there was no ready for him to groom himself. Because he had his beard already. This is a man I married. This is a kufara saying this now. Now we can imagine our youngsters now, we are making them so self-conceited with their hair. Now when they get married, it's only about themselves. It's how smart he's looking, and how his hair is, and how his beard is, if he's keeping a beard, and how his clothing is. He's got no time to even comment the wife also. It's only about himself. So Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding to bring our lifestyle according to Sunnah. We'll just finish this few lines over here. Many people regard visiting the mother and her newborn baby as an entertaining social visit, where much eating and talking takes place in the confinement room. We forget that the same etiquettes pertaining to visiting the sick apply or visiting the mother and a newborn baby. Many are negligent of this. The visit should be sweet and short. And we know Allah Ta'ala forgive us when it comes to, what do you say it or not, but we Indians, when you go to the hospital, ya Allah. Even the doctors make dua, ya Allah. She gave birth over here, the whole family will come. And worse than that, my dear brothers, where we allow the ghair mahrams to come in the room. Kala's husband wants to come see her. What work you got with her? She's not your niece. Her hair is open sometimes. She's wearing pyjamas. She's breastfeeding the child. Kala's uncle wants to see you. He's got no work with her. And the uncle sometimes is young also. So it's not befitting at all. At all, the father of the daughter should have complete ghairat sensitivity. The husband should be even more sensitive. And Nabi of Allah is clear, he says, don't become a dayus, don't become a cuckold. That you don't care who comes in the room to see your wife or your daughter, you're a cuckold, you've got no morals in you. You've got no morals, your compass is completely off the qibla. That you allow a strange man to come see your wife and your daughter in such a position, she can't be more vulnerable right now. In this position where she just gave birth, It's about a pure being into this world. Ma'asum child. And you're allowing this bad air to come into this room where the pure grandchild of mine is. Not allowed. She put there a board. Only mahrams allowed. Even the men shouldn't be allowed also. Even her brothers should feel shy. Subhanallah. We know of one family. We heard recently that the husband was telling the wife that we grew up in such a house, so much of sharam and haya, that this young Sala is married. He says, my sister now is about 20, 23. He says, I haven't even seen my sister's hair till today also. 20, 23 years, they're living in the same house. He's married now. He says, I never saw her hair. Living in the same house. So much of sharam. So much of haya. This is Deen Islam. Now imagine a boy grows up like that, my dear brothers. Never saw his sister's hair. Imagine the first day he sees his wife's hair. How mad he'll go over his wife. He never saw it before. First time he's seeing a woman of the uncovered, he grew up in an environment like this, such a pure. Tell me now, he won't love his wife. She'd be everything to him. Because he never was exposed in his own house also. That's how it should be. And the girl also. Now here she just gave birth. And all are welcome. We're having a baby shower. Everybody comes. Right? Even the neighbor's husband too is coming. Ben, how are you feeling? But you go, no, she's not your Ben. She's not your Ben. That's how you go to the street corner, bye. That's your sister, that she's calling you bye, because she wants a handout. So you don't ban, bye, implement Sharia. Don't be afraid, put a board there. There are only ladies allowed. Only to the extent, my dear brothers, if only you understand these things, to the extent they say even the domestic at home, the Muslim domestic at home, that the woman at home can't even open the hair to her. She's not a Muslim, you can't even show the hair to the domestic. Right? Why? We say because she doesn't have taqwa in her. She sees the beauty of the missus. She sees the beauty of the girls. She's going to tell her boyfriend, hey, the missus is very beautiful. Why should you do up her hair? And she wear multicolors now because the Baqi likes it like that. Right? She described the beauty to all the men. She'll go now wherever she's going, the taxi talk sometime. The missus is going to do her hair today. And she looks like this and she looks like that. And the boss will be very happy when he comes from work today, because what he's going to see when he comes. She described the missus to the last detail. And imagine the men over there now, they're already picturing. And now we bring the woman into the business area also. He says, now that haram you caused it. Your wife is supposed to be safe within her home, she's no more safe. The entire beauty has been described outside the house. The Sharia has protected all those of women folk and our daughters. Protect the chastity, protect. Now all these things have an effect on them. It's bad air. Then you know what happened. What happened to my daughter? The nikah not working out. This is happening. That we're not realizing where the core problem is. It didn't start now when she got married. The problem did not start when she got married. It started already from the time when my wife gave birth and before that. The tarbiyat I put into this child. Somebody asked, how come the kuffar are so happy? They're more happier than us. Look at them. They're happy because they both involved in haram. So both involved in haram, shaitan is a dost. Shaitan is a friend. He's going to make it majah for them in this world. Now here, everybody want taqwa. There's going to be a conflict. So there's going to be explosion in the house. That's why from young, we're going to bring up our children with the taqwa, the correct environment, don't expose them. Little things we're going to teach them. And we're making so much of dua for their future. So much dua we're making for the future. We're not saying don't make dua for them. We're not saying, right, twice already we said, but we're making so much dua the mothers make. We don't say don't make dua for them. The thing is the amount of anxiety the mothers have when they're making dua. That they're only making dua for the children. Only making dua for the children. Ya Allah, this and that and what duas. But they got anxiety in them about the kids. Got absolute anxiety. Because you're not doing the right thing. So we're trying to cover up with dua. Tarbiyat is to be correct. Then we make minimum dua. The child already is in the right path. You've got to guide him a little bit. But it's going the opposite way. Now to turn him back, bring him back is difficult. But you got him on the right path already. You just got to guide him. Better don't do this. Do it like that. She got married, the girl got married. But I just got to tell the truth to her, she understands it. Because she saw in my home already how I did everything correctly. And finally they say, there is no such thing as baby showers in Islam. It is a Western concept. And modernized way of begging for gifts, is it? Extortion. Begging for gifts. Now we're saying, Now the people are doing it already. Now we tell them to stop it. They said, how are we going to stop it? We're already doing it now. So we're saying, if you're doing it for logistical purposes, right? We understand now our social forum, or what you call it now, atmosphere has become such big. We know so many people, their families are gone so big. Now, if they all will come visit in their own time, the mother will never sleep, the baby will never sleep. They will carry on the entire day. Okay, so we have one day dawat, everybody will come. And as we said now, put specifically, no gifts allowed. No gifts allowed. If you one day, put your EFT details. You can do the EFT, put your QR code over there, they can do on EFT quickly. Alright? Tell them no gifts, alhamdulillah, baby has everything, mother has everything. We're not beggars, alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. So, we should educate them slowly, slowly. Baby is coming, if you want to give a cash hadiah, no problem. That's acceptable, out of muhabbat they want to give, but no need to. Alhamdulillah. In fact, the etiquette is you give the guest a hadiah when he leaves the house. Here they bring in muhabbat, no problem. It just needs one family to change. It needs one family to change, and you'll find the ladies will go, and when they finish eating, it's so nice. There's no stress, no tension over here. We didn't have to take anything, just took one envelope. Hey, I think we're going to do the same thing. It takes one, two families to change it. That's all. The ladies will go, they feel no stress, no pressure, alhamdulillah. You go, no stress, no pressure. You know what? We can also do it like this. It was so simple, it was so nice, no stress whatsoever. We baby coming in our house also, we'll call the people, tell them, come see the baby, come make dua. Come and put the duas on the wall also, what duas to make for the baby. Send it out beforehand. On the WhatsApp, these are duas to make for baby. No, so when they come, they make dua also for the baby, make dua for the mother also. When they give any hadiah, they can give the hadiah, no problem. So one should neither host nor attend such events. So we should put there also that, as we mentioned now, that there be no need to carry any gifts, etc. But this has to be an educational process, slowly, slowly. That's why the best thing, what do we tell the men, is how to educate our families in advance. Baby is coming, send a whole write up to the fatwa department. Can we do it this way, this way, this way, this way? Okay, no baby showers. But we were a big family. Of the sahab, will it be permissible that we invite them out of happiness? There is this aqiqah da'wat. It is established. Aqiqah da'wat. Aqiqah da'wat now, unfortunately, people having aqiqah da'wat, they're serving chicken. Like Bakri Ede. Bakri Ede, one Sati told me, Bakri Ede, Maana, we have prawns. I said, you're slaughtering prawns? He said, no, the woman folk don't like the mutton and the meat. He said, take it away. He said, Inna Billahi wa Inna Ilaihi Raji'un. Aqiqah da'wat is aqiqah da'wat. That's what we're feeding the people. So, you have a da'wat. Muntisab, can you have a da'wat sometime? We can't invite him. People got muhabbat, they want to come, etc. Can we do it like this? So, what do you say? P.O.B. Pass on the buck to Muftisab. How you say, Hazrat said. Which Hazrat? I'm also one Hazrat. But I told the wife, no, Hazrat said like that. But she didn't ask which Hazrat. I'm also a self-appointed Hazrat in the home. So, I mean, I said it. So, send out one, whole write up. This is how a family operates. Muftisab, can we do, can do, right? Simple, what I gotta do? Put it on my status, send it to the family group. So they know. What is that? Hadiyas, etc. Do they have to bring anything? Or what is better? One, two, three. Cash is better, this is better. So cash is the best thing. Then the mother can buy what she wants, no problem. So the same fatwa now, we just send it out. We educated our family. Passive way. I need to give one bayan now, and be in a fix, and tell the wife, etc. She said, where are you going to do all these things? Here's the fatwa, simple, nice, send it out, no problem. People are educated. So they know, alhamdulillah, the same one will go out. If we can change things like this. Only the Mufti Sahib sends it out. He said, well, his family is on that level. But me on my level now, I send it out. He said, subhanallah, look at this family. MashaAllah, they're bringing sunnats in their home. They're making mashwara. Then this is how we link up all the homes now to the fatwa department and to the masjid and to the ulama ikram. Then our life becomes simple also, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us a way to understand. Allah Ta'ala make it easy, inshallah.